Today's daf is daf chet, and we were holding in the middle of the sugya, and the question that concerns us is whether we estimate the quality of land in terms of an objective standard or in terms of the actual land owned by the mazik, according to Rabbi Akiva. The difference would be if the quality of his land, the mazik's land, is within the range of Idit the Alma, and he happens to have a range of Idit himself, that we have to take from the Idit of his land, even though perhaps his middle land would be Idit in terms of the objective quality of Idit. And as far as the Pesuk insisting that it's Beit of Sadeu, that was only coming to tell me that we don't look at the Nizik's field, we look at the Mazik's field, but it doesn't mean that we have to ignore the objective quality evaluation of the land in terms of the Alma, in terms of the world as a whole. And so the assertion yesterday that we had was that since it says Rabbi Abba, since it says Metav Sadeu has to be an absolute statement. We always take a look at the Mazik, we don't take a look at the evaluation.
The absolute best.
No, his best. Well, then the absolute has no meaning. His relative best, right. So now the question is, we began now asking from a rather complex braita, and it's important to note that this braita is making two levels of assumptions, and that's what the Gemara is troubled by. On the one hand, it doesn't disturb us very much that we should be able to discuss idit, beinonit, ziburit on a scale where the person only owns one property. So if we're talking about him, how can we discuss any quality differences? Obviously, if we need to have some type of reference to the quality, of course we utilize an objective sense of if this high-quality land, low-quality land, medium-quality land. In terms of our reference to it, of course we're going to use the word as it's generally referred to by a real estate agent. That wasn't the issue. Where it does become problematic is where there's a contradiction between the usage of the objective term and the relative quality in terms of the mazik. And this is what bothered us, because one of the clauses in this braita talks about a man who owns beinonit and ziburit, which in and of itself also doesn't bother us. You say, how is it possible a man to own beinonit and ziburit? Isn't by definition that means that he owns idit and ziburit? No, because again, I mean, obviously we're talking about a reference to something. Where's the referent? The world. Fine. But what does bother us is the halacha. The halacha is that in that case, the Baal Chov takes beinonit. The problem is that if, in fact, what counts is the relative quality in the mazik, then that beinonit no longer can be referred to as beinonit halachically. It's got to be referred to as idit, because it's his best. But if it's his best, then the Baal Chov doesn't get it. So we seem to see here clearly that Rav Abba was wrong, and that indeed the halacha is that we look at the objective value. We don't look at the objective quality, I should say. We don't look at the quality as it's defined relative to the mazik. Okay, this is where we were holding yesterday. And since this is an attack on Rabbi Abba, it seems very appropriate that Abba should pay very strict attention today and bring the full powers and energies of his namesake to bear. All right, so we're holding now on Daf Chet. And let's take a look just at, once again, the restatement of that question on line 4. The E-Armit, Shalohim Shamim, if you, Rav Abba, are right in saying that we go according to the quality relative to the mazik, then by definition, a man cannot own beinonit and ziburit. He can only own idit and ziburit. So then, te'aseh beinonit shalo ki idit. His beinonit, by definition, becomes idit, because it's being defined relative to him. And therefore, yidacheh ba'al chov, it's a ziburit. The Baal Chov now should have to collect from ziburit. This was the cliffhanging question, a dramatic question, a powerful question. It seems to lock Rabbi Abba in a vise. What do you say to that, Abba? Hey, Abba, you don't have a comeback position yet. Mm-hmm. All right, let's do it for
Richie's
you.
Richie's here, so okay. Fine,
Rich. Yeah, Richie comes just late enough to make sure that you maybe that way I can talk. Yeah, thanks. Just late enough to make sure that he has a good excuse for not understanding a word. It's like the child who always wants to fail, so we shouldn't have expectations. He's a firm believer in everything I learned in kindergarten.
Being a psychiatrist, you come to doubt your mean
yeah, why not? It's really a group therapy session. All right. Answers the Gemara. Very interesting answer. If we can define the case in a way that this guy's Beinonit was defined previously as Beinonit, so then we have a solution. So we could say, what happened over here is that initially he had three levels of quality. He sold his best quality field after there was already a lien against his property. And at that point, the Baal Chov took his lien against the middle quality. Now he sells his best quality. The din over there is that in selling your best quality, as long as you left anything behind, all liens are transferred to what you left behind. So therefore, you can't go and collect from the fact that you had a lien on this property before he sold it. That's too bad. Because he could say, okay, but look, you know, it's, you can't go collect from a buyer where there's free property behind. Why, by the way, is it true that you can't do that? Because the truth is that, objectively speaking, if you have a pre-existing lien against the property, you should be able to exercise it by going to court and claiming that this guy had no right to sell that property. The only reason that we don't allow you to claim that in court is, once again, it's one of those takanot that were made by the Rabbanan to ensure fluid markets. So if anybody who buys a piece of property would always have to worry about the fact that there may be a lien against it, there'd be no way for him to make absolutely certain that he's not going to be attacked in court next week. But if he leaves behind property to cover what he thinks the guy may owe, then he could say, look, there may have been a lien. I wouldn't have bought this property if I didn't know that you guys have plenty of money to go after. So don't come to me, go to him. Because of that, we made a takana to ensure that people will buy property without spending years of due diligence before they'll do a deal. And you know people like that, they're maddening to deal with. Never, ever get involved in the multi-year due diligence people. Forget it, you'd rather shoot yourself. So, that wasn't a comment to anyone in particular in this room, but... All right, so that's why we made this takana. So what's talking about over here, he initially had idit, and at that point, the Baal Chov now had a lien against the Beinonit, which was defined as Beinonit, relative to the Mazik's own idit. Now he sells that. And by the way, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking that's a pretty much ad hoc solution, but it isn't. Because Achinami Mistavra, it's actually very reasonable. Because there's another braita, Miriktani Achrite, there's another braita that gives exactly the same thing, where the guy has Beinonit Viziburit, and over there it says, Nezikin goes down to Beinonit, but the Baal Chov Ktuvatisha goes down to Ziburit. Now why would the Baal Chov go down to Ziburit, when we just learned a minute ago that the Baal Chov is able to collect from Beinonit? How do you explain that contradiction? Well, very simple. Kashina Hadode, are they not now contradictory? Elolav Shvamina Kansha Italo Iditu Machra, Kansha Loa Italo Iditu Machra. Close the door! So clearly, what we're talking about in one case is we define the Beinonit as Beinonit because there was pre existing Idit, and in the other case, we couldn't define it as Beinonit. And it became Idit by definition, relative to the Mazik. Therefore, the Baal Chov was unable to collect from it because the guy says, hey, you can't take my best property. So then when he tries to say, what do you mean? It may be your best property. It's a piece of garbage. That's too bad. After all, it all goes according to my property. Okay? So clearly, circumstantially, the halacha will change. So if there's a reason for me to define the Beinonit as Beinonit instead of Idit, that's good. But that would only be where I once owned Idit. And I owned it at the time that this loan was made. I went and borrowed that money. Now the Beinonit was Beinonit. Okay, that's one approach. So we get Abba out of a pickle. And we hope that he's properly grateful. Now there's other possibilities. Or we could say another possibility. We could say like this. We are not talking about a case where the reason that we're defining it is because of once having owned Idit and now selling it. Either he didn't own Idit, or if he did own Idit, he didn't sell it. That's the point. Velokash, hadishavya beinonit shaloki Idit alma, vekandaloshavya beinonit shaloki Idit alma. So what we're talking about over here is that perhaps everybody disagrees with Rav Abba. And nonetheless, in other words, the truth is, We will take a look at the objective quality. The objective quality is this thing now is, if you're telling me it's Beinonit objectively, it's Beinonit objectively. But where does it say that the Baal Chov goes down to Ziburit? That's talking about where his Beinonit is objectively worth Idit. If that's the case, then when the Baal Chov tries to collect from his Beinonit, and in this case, the definition of the words, he didn't have Idit and sell it, means he didn't sell it. He still has it. That's the point. So he still has it. Now you want to come along and you want to collect from my Beinonit. And you say, well, relative to you, I'm collecting Beinonit. Ah, says the Mazik, relative to me. Ha! Huh. You know perfectly well that my middle valued field is worth head and shoulders above anything that you ever saw in your life as being high quality. So it's defined as a high quality field objectively. Therefore, you will have to go down to collect from Ziburit in this case, because we hold Bishel Olam. So in other words, we don't necessarily have to say Hokinami Mistavra. We have the opposite approach, because on the contrary, maybe everybody disagrees. And nonetheless, the interrelationship works out perfectly well. Because the differences are not because we hold that you have to define things relative to the Mazik. The differences are because we're defining things differently relative to the objective quality as it's defined by the rest of the world. So, obviously it depends what it's for. It depends what the zoning of the land is. If it's land that's meant for businesses, then it means the higher quality of business property where you'll get the most. No, it's defined by real estate values. You split the real estate values per acre or per square meter.
So it could differ depending on what the area is.
Not it could. Location, location, location. Absolutely, sure. But the question would be, you know, how easy is it to sell this property? That's the bottom line. Mm-hmm. Are there a lot of, I mean, that's always a market defined issue. Okay, so we don't have to say that we're talking about Kanshoitola Idit Ummachra. Vibaitema, or we could say actually, maybe that in fact is the difference between the two brightot. Maybe that's the issue. Do we look at objective values or do we look at subjective values? So Ibaitema, Idi Vidi Kigon Shaita Benonichelo, Kabenonit Dialma. The other approach would be we're talking about his Benonit is worth objectively Benonit. So now the question would be why would the Baal Chov be pushed down to Ziburit. Mar Savar B'Shelo Ein Shamin. Mar Savar B'Shelo Lam Ein Shamin. The difference is, one man, the Omer, says, look, forget about what objective values are. What are the quality of his own property? This is the best, and then a Baal Chov can't collect from the best. Even though the Baal Chov is saying, what do you mean, who cares if it's his best? But objectively defined, this is only medium quality land. That doesn't concern us. It says, Meitav Sadeu, you don't have the right to take the best of his land. Whereas the other man, the Omer, holds, since the Baal Chov says, look, this is standard middle-class land, so its quality is defined objectively as just middle quality, therefore I have a right to take it. So, Enoch Inami. If you hold V'shal Olam Im Shamin, then he does have a right to take it. Okay, so now we have three possible explanations of the differences between these two brachos. One explanation is that we're all agreed that Bishaloyin Shamin, and it's talking about that he pre-owned Idit in one case, and in the other case he didn't. The other explanation is that on the contrary, everybody holds we objectively define it. And the question is, was his objectively defined quality worth Idit Diyama or not, Beinonit Diyama or not? And the other explanation is that precisely is the difference between the two brightot. Do we evaluate quality objectively, or do we evaluate it relative to the mazik? Ravina says there's a fourth possibility. And the fourth possibility avoids the issue entirely here, because they might be arguing about something completely different. Ravina ama bid ula pligi. They're actually arguing about the applicability of ula's law. The Omar ula, actually divar Torah ba'al chov b'ziburit. I can prove to you that if you take a look at Midioraita, you would only have the right to collect from Ziburit. How do I know that? Shneamar, because it says like this. Here it's referring to somebody who, this is an amazing halacha, absolutely amazing. I mean, considering that this is the type of thing that really went into effect only with the American Revolution. So here there's a halacha that if you go to court and you're attempting now to collect from someone, and the court wants you to take a temporary mashkan until he's able to pay you, the din is amazingly, b'chutz ta'amod, you cannot walk into the guy's house without a search warrant, and you can't get a search warrant. There's no such animal. So if the Bezdin sends someone to the house, he has to stand outside of the door and say, what do you have that we can collect from? V'ya'ish asher ata noshebo, the person that you're trying to collect from, he's the one that's going to have to go inside, and yotzi alecha ta'avot, he will bring to you that which you could collect from, you currently hold as a pawn towards collection. Now, obviously, if he's going to be deciding what to bring out, he's not going to be bringing out his best plasma TV. He'll bring out his old crummy CRT TV, right? And you're going to have to take that. So then that means, so ma darko shel adam lo tzi lachutz, what does a person generally bring out? The worst of what he's got. Pachot shebekelim. Ma tam amru ba'alchov bebeinu nid. Why then do we say that a person has a right to collect from middle class property? Only because kedei shelo tinol delet bifnei lovin, as we explained yesterday, we don't want to close down the capital markets, so we need people to be willing to lend money. Now, nobody's going to lend money if they're going to be caught in this kind of absurd situation when it comes time to collect. Mar itlei takanta du'ula, mar latlei takanta du'ula. So therefore, one of the brightot says, look, the Balchov goes down to Ziburit, because that's his law. But Ula, forget about Ula. We don't agree with Ula's law. The other Mad Yomer who says the Balchov collects from Beinonit, he indeed holds that you have a right to collect from Beinonit. As far as what defines as Beinonit, I don't know. I mean, that's not the issue now. Maybe he had, maybe it was sin, maybe it goes according to the Alma. But the question is, do you or don't you take from Beinonit? That's the question. Now, Tosis explains that we never find anybody who disagrees with Ula's law. It's a given that Ula's law, I mean, we always collect for a Balchov from Beinonit. When it says over here that one man, the Omar, doesn't hold of Ula's law, it means only in a case like this, where there is no, and this is a beautiful idea to anybody who's watched those old westerns where the railroad is always out to get your property, you know, or somebody's buying your property for oil. I mean, there's always some guy that's got to hold out against the baddies because they're trying to get his property, right? Yeah, now, one of the ways in which they get your property is by giving you a great loan. And then when you can't pay back the loan, then they come and take the property, right? The oldest trick in the book. So now this case is a very special case because over here, the guy doesn't have currently Idit. This Beinonit is his Idit, and now the Balchov is going to be able to collect from his Beinonit. But suppose the Balchov likes the Beinonit. Suppose he thinks there's oil on the Beinonit. So normally, where the guy's got Idit, we're not Cheshish, because his best field he's not going to be able to get. But in this case, this is all the man has, is Beinonit. Therefore, Ula's law doesn't kick in because we have the more fundamental concern that we don't want people making loans with the object of creating a default situation where they can go and collect on the loan. You see, let mide de la remisa be all right. There's nothing, no Western, nothing that you're not going to find in the Torah. There you go. So that would be the reason.
Really crunch. Man, just the opposite.
Amazing. No, it's really, it's just amazing. Okay. Moving on now. Now that we've raised the specter of what happens in the case of a sale, because that's what happened over here. He had, but he sold it, according to our first lashon. What does happen in the case of a sale? Do the liens move along with the sale? I understand that as long as I leave something behind, I force everybody to collect from what's left behind. But suppose everything is sold. So now, do the order of collection move along with the sale or not? Now, this is an interesting issue. Turn around. Let's say Machar Le'echad. This guy sells all of his property to one individual. Or, l'shlosha b'nei adam ke'echad. He sells to three different buyers, but the contracts are all dated on the same day. Once the contract is dated on the day, and there's no time in the contract, at that point, the contracts might as well, legally speaking, have all been done simultaneously. The rule is that kulam nikrasu tachat ha'ba'alim. The single or multiple buyers now become the equivalent of the owner, and therefore the guy who bought, idit, pays for any nezikin that were owed by the seller. The guy who owns beinonit pays for the debts that were owed by the seller. The guy who owns ziburit pays for the wife and her ktuva that was owed by the seller, and so on. Now, if, however, they bought bezeh achar zeh, if they were dated on three subsequent days, then everybody goes to the last person to buy first. Because anybody who bought and left property behind of any value can say, don't look at me. I left property behind. Go to him. The next guy who bought the next level says, I bought, I left property behind. Go to him. So him has to pay. Now, how about when him runs out of property? So then he says, well, sorry, but it's all over. So then they can only go to the guy who bought immediately before him. And only at the very end, if you run out of property, can you go back to the first guy to buy. But in that case, you have canceled the structure of the idut beinonit ziburit payments, because of over and above those liens, we look at what was the last out. That's the first in. Okay? And again, the reason for that is because it's a takana for lekuchot. And we're going to see that, fascinatingly, the fact that it's a takana for lekuchot has an amazing application, which we're going to get to today, which may turn everything upside down, to your great surprise. Yes, sir.
In this case, at the time you sold the property, you owed money on damages, on
three things: damages, loans, and for his wife.
That moment,
this guy's a big loser.
Right. It's not the subsequent
thing. No, subsequently, there's nothing you can do. No. It's only where we had a pre-existing lien. So there, Bezak Azek, Kulam Govim and Acharon, everybody has to go to the last guy. When he runs out of property, Ein Lo, then go Vemi Shelefanav. You go to the second guy to buy. When he runs out of property, Ein Lo, go Vemi Shelefanav. Says the Gemara, I want to understand the case. Please. What's the case? You say Machran Lechad, if you sell it to one person or to three people, what is the case of selling to one person? Ekedon, Me'ileg Bevat Echad, if you sold all three properties, meaning all 100 properties, but all three types, the idit, beinonit, ziburit, all at one time, and you say that he was nichnas tachat haba'alim, because since it was all bought on the same day, then there's nothing to cancel the initial structure of who gets what, idit, beinonit, ziburit. And will you tell me why you bother saying the case? I mean, for heaven's sakes. If in a case where he sold to three separate buyers, hashta l'shlosha, but where there's three separate buyers, you could at least claim that the guy, if he goes to court and says, but I was the last one to buy. I mean, I was the first one to buy, and therefore I should be the last one to have to pay. And nonetheless, even though Ikel Meimar Chad Min HaYokadim, one of them could claim to have done the first one purchase. Nonetheless, you say that that's irrelevant. And Kulam Nikrasu Tachat HaBa'alim, the initial structure of Idit, Ziburit, and Beinonit is maintained. So obviously, if you sell to one guy, I mean, why bother even saying a case like that? It is so completely redundant that it can't possibly be the meaning of what you're trying to say. So that's not what you're saying. So le'achad miboy, elab shita. So what you must be saying is, surprisingly, that even though it was bezeh achar zeh, even though you sold on subsequent days, but you sold to the same guy, since it's the same guy, once he owns all three quality levels, he now gets thrown back into the initial separation of Idit, Beinonit, and Ziburit. That's what it's got to be saying. Otherwise, it's not adding a thing when it's talking about selling to one guy. Right? Are we agreed about this? Okay. If we're agreed, then let's take the next step. Because now it doesn't make any sense. Because look, I mean, if you sell to three separate people, what's the rule? Ma'ishna shlosha. If you got three people, each person can say, excuse me, sir, your lien on my idit that I bought is canceled because I left you ziburit behind to collect from. So see you some fine other morning. So there each one, kol v'chad v'chad amale, I left you where to collect from. So then why can't this guy say, okay, you want me to put on different hats? I'll put on different hats. So this morning, I'm the guy who bought the first land. And when I bought it, I left you Zigoris behind. You'd like to collect Beinonis? Sorry, let me put on my other hat. Okay, now I'm the guy who bought the second property. And what's the difference if it's three different people or if it's one person? Bottom line is, each transaction cancels the rights to the collection of that property by saying I left you behind, and now all the liens are left on the lowest quality I left behind. So you're right, you can come and collect from me now, but only when I'm wearing this color hat, which is ziburit color. So then why can't he say, so leim alei here too, hinakti lakom makom, ligvot menenu? Well, he could, except the dum-dum bought the idit last. A lot of good it's going to do him to say that. So the last thing that he bought was the idit. So if he's going to tell people, I'm going to leave you the last thing behind, that's not going to do him any good. They're all going to come and collect from the best of his property. So now you'll say, so then this is trivial. Oh, it's beautiful to see how something trivial becomes something dramatic, a dagger to the heart. Watch this. Says the Gemara, well, if that's what it's talking about, why indeed can't they all go and collect from Edith? Because you're telling me that actually the fundamental way of determining the collection is to look at last property to be removed from the ownership of the person who owned the money, which in this case was Edith. So now I'm the one who bought the Edith. Okay, so who cares? But everybody says, listen, don't tell me I have to collect from Ziburit, says his old ex-wife. Don't tell me I have to collect from the Beinonit, says the middle bearer. I am going to go and collect from the Edit, because that's the last thing that you left behind, you idiot. So now that you bought it, I'm going to take it from you. What do you say about that? Let everybody come and collect from Edit. But now you're telling me, very surprisingly, that kulam nichlisu takat ha-baalim, that for some reason, he can still tell the Baal Chov to collect from Beinonit. And the Ketuvat Isha still only has the right to collect from Ziburit. Now, why in the world would that be true? That is a good question, right? And here is the beautiful answer. Because, you see, this guy tells now the Baal Chov, he says, look, what would you like to do, sir? Ah, you'd like to collect from Edit. You know what? I have a wonderful idea. I'm going to make you a deal you can't refuse. And here's the deal. Either you collect from Beinonit, like you really were supposed to originally, or I am going to mosey on down over to that seller, and I'm going to drop the contract of the worst property back to him. I'm giving it back. What do you say? Now what are you going to do? You're going to go and collect from Ziburit, because I left Ziburit behind. I don't even have to give it back. I could just pretend it never happened. Go prove I'm the pirate. Well, you have a contract. I do. Where? Who? I don't know anything about a contract. Where's the contract? Everybody knows that was his property. Go collect the property. All right? So then you're going to collect from Ziburit. Now, I'm a nice guy. So if you want to be quiet, ishtakitu, if you shut up and you collect what you're supposed to collect, v'shaklitu kidinaichu, shaklitu. If you want, you can collect your beinonit because I'm going to make you a deal you can't refuse. But hello, if you're not going to collect your beinonit, you're going to try to collect from Edith, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. You're going to all go and collect from Ziburit as far as I'm concerned. But don't talk to me about Edit. Wait a minute, says the Gemara. How can that be a good explanation? Because then if that's the case, he should be able to say the same thing to Mr. Edit. He could tell Edit, look, you know what? I'm going to make you a deal you can't refuse. I'm going to pay you back from Beinonit. You don't like Beinonit, huh? You want Edit? Okay. I got a good idea. I'll drop the Ziburit back over at the cellar, and you can go collect from Ziburit. Now, what do you think about that idea? Nice idea, right? So, and yet, it says over here that we go back to the way it was, and that, in fact, he collects from Edith. How do you explain that? Why isn't he making a deal you can't refuse to the guy that he owes Nezikin to? So something is wrong with your scenario. All you addressed was the issue about the Baal Chov. Benezikin nami nemi achi. The only reason, Richie, that he would not be able to say this, there's only one possible reason, and that is that we are talking about the deceased owner of the field. And now if I go back and I try to return this property to the heirs will say, gee, thank you very much for the gift. And then when somebody wants to come and collect from it, they'll say, sorry, but daddy's gone. And when he died, there was nothing here. And there's no liens anymore. This guy just gave us a gift. And, you know, he's really a nice guy. But we feel sorry for you, but we're not going to pay you. Why should we pay you? So there, it's not going to help. But if it's not going to help because the original owner is deceased, then it's not going to help to make a deal for the Baal Chov either. So there's got to be another explanation. So either the explanation cuts across both the Zikin and the Baal Chov, or it's not a useful explanation. So chuck that, and let's try again. Okay. So Elohim HaMayaskinim, what we've got to be talking about is Biyatme. We're talking about his heirs. That's what we're talking about. Dolav B'nei Pira Oninu, they don't have to pay. V'shibud Adilei, Our Lady Dei Ramye. And he's the guy now that is has the lien, and therefore, he can't make them a deal that you can't refuse. All right? And here, listen, this is so brilliant, guys. I mean, you can't miss this. It is wonderful. It is so exciting. No, really, it is so brilliant. I've been waiting all morning to say this over to you, and you're sitting there fast asleep, like those neurons, the most complex structures in the universe, are nothing but mud. So, here's the brilliant solution. Listen to this. It is marvelous. The meaning is like this. It's because the buyer can say, Mishum da amalu. I can barely say this from real excitement. Seriously, it's unbelievable. He says like this. Time of my Amar Rabbana, Ein nifroim minachasim yishuvadim emakam sheyesh b'nei chorin. Look, Me'ikar Adin, we're all agreed, that actually the original lien structure should have survived the sale, correct? The only reason it didn't survive the sale is because the rabbis were kind enough to make a takana for the benefit of the markets. The benefit of the market means that I, the dear buyer, should be able to say, well, I don't have to worry, I left the property behind. Which means that I, the buyer, am the beneficiary of this great and enlightened takana. Well, guess what? I, the buyer, opt out. And since you have a right to opt out of any takana that was done only for your benefit, since in this case, it turns out to be bad for me, because I also was the buyer of the last piece of property. So what good is it for me that I left the last piece of property, which was the Edis behind? Oh, yeah, I say to myself, Tumkov, why did you leave the best? Ah, it doesn't matter, because it was all to my benefit anyway. I cancel my benefits. So now we go back to the original structure. So the original structure allows only the Nezikin to get from Edis, and the Barkov gets from pain in his. I'm not the big Tumkov I thought I was. So let's see that inside. Come on, guys. I mean, does that deserve an applause or not? Inside. The only reason that the Rabbanit said that you cannot collect from the chasim that have been sold to someone else if there are free property left behind is all mishum takanta didi. It's all for my benefit. But I don't like that benefit, and I want to opt out of that benefit. Get a Rava, because Rava says, the Omer Rava kola omer, anybody who wants to opt out of a type of takana like this one, and we're going to see what that is in a moment, we accept that as a legal right. Referring to what? What was the kagonzo? The case that he was referring to was Rav Huna. Rav Huna says, remember that one of the things that we did, another marvelously enlightened takana, in which we are literally millennia ahead of the rest of the world in thinking, in morality, in social structures, millennia. So one of the things that we did was we said, look, a woman is going to be supported by her husband, and therefore, if she is going to work, the husband has a right to her work, because otherwise you'll destroy the marriage. But if she says, I'll be darned if I want to be dependent on an idiot like you, and I'll keep my own salary, my own bank accounts, obviously she can do that because she opts out of something that's for her benefit. And since that's the case, this is no different. You're simply opting out of a takana that was made for your benefit. And you can always do that. So in this case, despite the fact that you made the mistake of leaving the Edis for the end, and then you suddenly maybe got enough money, now you can buy the Edis too, you're not in trouble anymore because you can opt out of the takana and force the liens back to their original structure. Pshita, it's obvious that in a case where machar lokeach, vain and invisible, we're going to get more into the details of this very exciting sugya. So now, if a buyer now goes and sells to another buyer, the buyer number two, here we've got another brilliant, oh, I love it, huh? Okay, You need some Viagra? What's the matter? You can't handle one after the other? Is that the problem? Let's get to it. The guy goes over here, and buyer one sells the buyer two. Now, he goes ahead and he sells Beinonit Viziburit. He leaves the Idit to himself. Okay. Laito kula v'ligvumi Idit. All of them can come along, and they can all collect from the Idit, because the Idit is the last thing. It's the achronahi. It was the last thing to be purchased. And we're still continuing the same case. This guy goes ahead now. This guy who had bought the Idit last. And now he said that I don't like the takan of the Chachamim. Since the Idit was the last thing that was bought. And when that happens, the only way that he was going to get out of saying that the Idit should not be the thing that the lien is left on. So it was the achronah. The only way he would be able to say it would be to say, lo nechli b'takan to the rabbona. But in this case, beinanit viziburit letnu legabe. He no longer has the beinanit viziburit that he should be able to say, go collect from the beinanit viziburit the lo nechli b'takan to the rabbona. He can't say, I want to opt out, because he doesn't own it anymore. Sorry, sir, but you sold that. So what are you going to say? What are you telling me? Go collect. It's not up to you to say, go collect. Somebody else owns that. I had a lien on this Idit. It was the last thing that you bought. I want to use that lien. Do you have any way of pushing me away from it? No. What are you going to tell me? I want to opt out. Really? And where's the other property that I'm going to collect from? I sold it. Thank you. So you can't opt out. So over there, I'm going to come and collect from the Idit. But how about the other way around? How about if the guy sells the Idit? Machar Idit. Vishier Beinanit Viziburit. How about in the other case, where he sells Dafka the Idit, leaving behind the Beinonit and the Ziburit? How about then? Because now buyer two, oh, what an idiot. Buyer two bought the property that had all the liens against it. How do you like that? So what happens over there? Sovara Abaye Lameimar, well, buyer two is an idiot. Otukulo Gavim Idit. Since all of the liens ended up being concentrated on the last property to be bought by buyer one, which was the Idit. So when buyer one sells the buyer two, the Idit, he's selling it along with all of its problems. So now buyer two gets stuck with the property that everybody's going to come and collect from. So sova abaye lameimar, otukulu gavu miidit. In that case, everybody can come and collect from the Idit. Amalei Rava, no, that's not true. Because let's understand the nature and the terms of a sale. Mamachar Rishon Hasheni, what does a person sell when he sells a piece of property? I'll tell you what he sells. He sells Kol Zechut Shetavo LeYado. He sells all of the rights, all of the legal rights that he has in that property. The ownership of that property would have enabled him, given the ilo atu legabi gokeach rishon, motzi agvilo mebeinonit veziburi, if they would have come to collect from buyer number one, from Idit, would they have been able to? No. Because he would have always been able to say, I always got the opt-out option. The opt-out options are so much fun. So when he sells that now, so now, even though the case is ve'afapi, the chizavni beinonit veziburit, akati Idit b'nei chorinavi, the law would be, that even if afterwards he sells Beinonit Viziburit, and the Idit are still free and clear, and usually the law is, that's what you're saying, and so therefore the Idit should be the carrier of all the liens. But remember that he could have said, but that in this case doesn't matter, because one of my legal rights in this purchase is to opt out of the Takana de Rabbanan. Therefore, the second guy who buys that Idit buys it together with all of the rights that the first person had in that Idit, which included the right to force liens away from Idit, unless they were of the Zikin, and force them back onto Ziburit and Beinonit. Matzi Armalei, so the Sheni Nami Matzi Armalei, the second buyer can also tell the collector, go and Gavi Beinonit Viziburit. Go and collect whatever you're supposed to collect. Beinonit Viziburit. The chizavin lokeach sheni, when the second buyer buys, adaite de kozechuta, the avel rishon begavazavin. He buys with the understanding that he is buying all of the legal rights that the person who's selling it to him can actually utilized in court. And this is one of them. Harkabamai askinan, kegon shaitalo iditu machra. V'chinom revchista, kegon shaitalo iditu machra. Hakinami mistava. Miriktani achriti, beinanit viziburi. Nezikim bebeinanit. But palchovik tevati shaviziburi. Now kashina adad, elalav shmamina, kan shaitalo iditu machra, kan shaloitalo iditu machra. Vibaitema, idividi shloitaloidi to makrovlokasha. Had the Shavia Benenichilokidi diama, candelo Shavia Benenichilokidi diama. Vibaitema, idividi gagoncheta Benenichiloka Beneniti alma. Valkaba obligi, Marsa Vabishalo in Shamin, Umarsa Vabishalo Lamen Shamin. Ravina Amar could be a more fundamental machloket. But Ula Pligi, the Amarula Dvar Torah, Valkov Beziburich, Emar Bakuts Tamod. Vaisha Shratano Shebo Yotzi Alechata Avota Kutsa. Madar Kosha Adam Lotzila Kutz, Pakosha Bekilim. Umata Mamruba Alkov Bebenunit, Kedesha Lotin Oldelet, Pifne Lovin. Mar Iteta Kantadula, Umar Letle, in a situation like this, as Tosis explains, Takantadula. Tonerabon, Macharli Achad, Ola Shloshabene Adam Kiachad, Kulamnik Vasut Tachat Abaalim. I ask you, Ashtala Shlosha, Dikala May Machad me according, you say Kulam Nikusutahatabali, Machran Lechad me boy, Elapshita Bezakhaze, so then my Shna Shlosha, the Kokhad Vakar Omale, Inaktila Kamakom Negvot Mimeni, Mimenu, this guy can say the same thing. A kochad v'chad leimalei inakti l'cham b'kom l'gvot b'menu. Ach, v'may eskinan, k'gon shalakach idit b'achrona. V'chen om Rav Sheshet, k'gon shalakach idit b'achrona. What? So then why don't they all go and collect from idit? V'shom do'am alahu, look body, ishtakitu v'shaklitu k'dinayichu shaklitu. V'ilo, madran ashtarat ziburit l'mare, v'shaklitu kuchum ziburit, as far as I'm concerned. Ihaki, why can't he say the same thing by Nezikin? Nezikin nami name ahaki. Elohim, I askin him biyatme. The lav b'nei piraoninu. Vishibudu delei alididei ramya. Hilkach lekalamim ahaki. Okay, so what's the solution? Elohim shum diyomer lahu. Time amai yomer rabbanenei nifroim minokasim mishubodim. Bimakom shiyesh b'nei chorin. Vishum takanta didin. Anabat takanta lodechalim. Get a rabba. Diyomer rabba kolomer yefshi petakanat chachamim kegonzo. Shomim lo, Mike Gonzo, Kiruvana. The Omer Ravuna, Yakola, Isha, Shetomar Lavala, Eni Nizonet, Veni Osa. Pshita, Makalokeh, Benunit, Viziburi, Vishir, Idit, Lifanav, Light to Kulav, Ligvum, Idit, Doachronahi, and he's not in possession of the Benunit, Viziburi, Letun, Lagabe, so that he should be able to say, Gvum, Benunit, Viziburi, Dolonech, Libetakanda, Rabona. Aval, Machar, Idit, Vishir, Benunit. Viziburit, my. So Rabbi Elamei, Mera to Kula Gavim Idit, Amalei Rava, not true. Because my Machar Rishon Hashini, Kol Zechut Shetavol Liyavdo, Vekiv Nilat of Gavu, Lokayach Rishon, No Matzi Agvilo Mi Benonit Viziburit, even though the Chizavni Benonit Viziburit Akati Idit Bnei Chorin Avoy originally, and the rule is generally, that ain't Ephraim Nekotz Mishubadim Kozman Dike Bnei Chorin, nonetheless Matzi Amalei, Lo Nechali, but if that's the case, lokeach sheni nami matzei amale. Gvi benonit viziburit, the chizom and lokeach sheni, are died to the kozachute, the avalel rishon, the gavazav, the avalel rishon, the gavazav, in.